Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. Please keep your Bibles open at Psalm 13 as we look at it together. Well, if you like a sermon with 3 points, all beginning with the same letter, then you're in luck. This psalm is just for you. It's got 3 brief pairs of verses, and we'll look at them together under 3 headings. The psalmist's perplexity, his petition, and his praise. Our first heading then, the psalmist's perplexity. Why does God hide his face? Just look at verses 1 and 2 again. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Well, David is utterly perplexed. He asks God question after question. It's probable that he wrote this psalm when King Saul, once David's friend, was pursuing him, trying to kill him. David has done nothing to arouse Saul's jealous anger, and so he's throwing a pity party. Poor me. He's focused solely on himself and his problems. Just look at the personal pronouns he uses. Will you forget me? Hide your face from me, my thoughts, my heart. My enemy triumphs over me. It's me, my. And 4 times he complains, how long, Lord? He thinks he's been abandoned by God and forgotten by him forever. The first thing to note then is that David's not afraid to tell God how he feels. This feeling that the psalmist has been abandoned by God, that God has hidden his face, is a familiar theme in the Psalms. Here are just a few examples. Do not hide your face from me, the psalmist writes in Psalm 27. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. In Psalm 44, why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Psalm 88, verse 14. And in Psalm 102, do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. If we're honest, we all feel like this sometimes. We feel that God is so far away and that we've been abandoned. So the first thing to learn is that it's okay to tell God how you're feeling. Don't bottle it up. Be honest with him. So why does God seem to hide his face from us? Well, sometimes the answer is quite straightforward. It's simply our disobedience, our sinfulness. It's our own fault. Unconfessed sin creates a gulf between us and God. In the book of Isaiah, God says through the prophet, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. And again, later in Isaiah chapter 59, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Yes, sometimes it's our sin that's the problem. But at other times, it's not quite so straightforward, is it? Even Jesus, the sinless Son of God, cried out in perplexity from the cross, quoting Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, when all the sin in the universe, yours and mine, was laid upon Jesus, a cosmic transaction took place. And God had to hide his face from his beloved Son. So what about us? We can earnestly ask God's forgiveness for all known sin, but still his face seems hidden. The door to heaven seems shut fast. So what then? A young mother was sitting quietly in her easy chair. On the floor near her, her toddler was playing, piling his blocks one on top of the other, knocking them down, giggling and laughing, completely absorbed in his play. His mother looked lovingly at him, her eyes shining. Presently she began to call him, come to mummy, sweetheart, come to mummy. But he took no notice. He carried on playing. Again, she called, but he wasn't listening. He was just too busy with his game. Soon, the mother quietly slipped from her chair and went into the next room, out of the boy's sight. He didn't notice her go. He supposed she was still there and he could go to her at any time. And then he glanced up from his play and saw the empty chair. His laughter stopped at once. A cloud came over his features. He turned and looked all around the room, but his mother was nowhere to be seen. A sudden pang of fear passed through him. He began to cry and call out for his mum. His cries brought an immediate response. His mother came quickly back into the room. She picked him up and held him tightly to her. The young boy clasped his arms about her neck as though he would never let her go. Soon his tears were gone, mother and child enjoying each other's love once more. The mother in that little story didn't go away from her son because she had stopped loving him or because she thought he didn't love her. She simply wanted to draw his attention away from his little concerns to herself. She wanted to show her affection for him and to receive his love in return. Jesus told a story about a farmer sowing seeds. As he scattered them on his field, some seed fell among thorns. The thorns then grew up with the seedlings and choked them. When his disciples asked him to explain the meaning of the story, Jesus said this: the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. We can sometimes become so absorbed in our own pleasures, in our work, in our problems, that God can't attract our attention. He wants to continue in fellowship with us, but we're too busy. We ignore him. We imagine that we can solve our own problems without his help. So God quietly withdraws, and like the little boy in the story, we suddenly become aware that we're alone. David's life was in danger. He felt completely alone and that he had to solve his problems all by himself. Look at it. He says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And he's unable to find a solution by himself. So what then? Our next heading, the psalmist's petition from darkness to light. Petition from darkness to light. Look down at verse 3. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. David's focus starts to move away from himself to God. He stops asking questions, why, how long, and instead he puts his petitions, his pleas, before God. Notice that in verse 1, he addresses God simply as Lord. In verse 3, he says, Lord my God. Now God is much more personal. David reminds God and himself of their personal relationship. He remembers that it was God who had called him into his service to become king of Israel. David might still be in the dark. He still can't see a way out. But now he calls on God for help. Look on me. Answer me. Give light to my eyes. From the negative, how long will you hide your face? David's focus shifts to the positive. Shine your light on me. Bring me out of darkness into your wonderful light. In the Psalms again, we can find this contrast between God's face being hidden in darkness and shining in light. Psalm 4, verse 6, let the light of your face shine on us. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Psalm 31. And Psalm 44 again, it was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. David acknowledges that he can't manage on his own. Without God's help, all that's left is the sleep of death. One day, a farmhand was using a sledgehammer to break a large hole in the wall of an old cellar. A passerby asked what he was doing. Oh, see, sir, he said, I'm letting out the dark. Sometimes, like David at the start of this psalm, we focus too much on darkness. Perhaps we're afraid of the dark, both physical and spiritual. We see the mess the world is in. War and famine abroad, corruption and disillusionment, and more recently rioting here at home. And we wonder, can these dark forces ever be defeated? David says that without God's help, his enemies will have the last laugh. My foes will rejoice when I fall. If we're trusting in our own efforts to be saved, ignoring what God is offering to us, then Satan will have the last laugh. He will rejoice over us. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. By his death on the cross in our place, Jesus has overcome the forces of darkness. So if you're feeling alone and abandoned as David was, then hear this. You are special to God. He made you. He loves you. And he will never abandon you. One of Jesus' closest friends was the fisherman Peter. Peter had let Jesus down so badly by denying that he ever knew him. But this wasn't the end of the story. He didn't give up. He carried on meeting with the other disciples, and he was with them out on a fishing trip on the lake when he met the risen Christ by the lakeside. And Jesus forgave him and welcomed him back into his arms. You can read about this in John's Gospel, chapter 21. Listen to what Peter later wrote, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And it was Peter on the day of Pentecost who preached this simple gospel message: "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I think the King James Version puts this verse even better: "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Put your trust in Jesus to save you. "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." As we put our trust in Jesus, we can know that we are chosen and loved by our Heavenly Father, who has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. In the story of the mother and her son, while she was in the next room, the mother knew all the while where her son was and that he was in no mortal danger. God has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So let's turn away from darkness and, like David, ask God to shine the light of his face upon us. Let's read on. Let's look at the last two verses, verses 5 and 6, where we find another of the great buts in the Bible. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Our final heading: from perplexity and petition, now the psalmist turns to praise. Praise, David's confidence in God. Well, as far as we know, God hasn't answered David's prayer yet. The problems are still there. But David knows that he has reason to praise God. He trusts in his unfailing love and rejoices in his salvation. He's now come to a point where he can express his total confidence in God and sing his praise. Why? Well, it's there in the last few words of this psalm: "Because he has been good to me." He remembers God's goodness to him in the past and turns from perplexity to praise. The old hymn puts it this way: "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." I'm sure there have been times in your life, there certainly have been in mine, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost. In those times, do as David did. Remember God's goodness to you. Count your blessings. Put your confidence in him to save you. And be amazed at all that God has done for you. Many of you here this morning will know that these last couple of years have not been easy for me, as my lovely Janet battled cancer. We had been married for nearly 59 years when the Lord Jesus called her home in March this year. But each day, I count my blessings. I remember what God has done for me, how he has given me a loving family and many wonderful Christian friends here at Emmanuel and beyond. And above all, I remember that he sent his son to die for me so that I might have eternal life in him. Like the psalmist, I trust in God's unfailing love and my heart rejoices in his salvation. Each day I have reason to praise God, for he has been good to me. If you're a Christian here this morning, then you too have reason to count your blessings. Remember all that God has done for you. and give him thanks and praise. And if you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, then what are you waiting for? Confess your sins to God. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus to save you and thank him for all that he has done for you on the cross. The Apostle Paul urges us to praise God in all circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice even when you don't feel like it. In fact, especially when you don't feel like it. We don't praise God because we feel good. Praise is not about us, it's about God. We praise him for who he is and what he has done. He is worthy of all our praise. Like David, let us sing his praise, for he has been good to us. Can I ask you then, is God's face hidden from you right now? Then learn from this psalm what you should do. First, don't be afraid to tell God how you feel. If his face seems hidden, then be honest and tell him so. Next, remember that you are precious to him and ask him to shine the light of his face on you and bring you out of darkness. And then count your blessings. Thank God for all that he has done in your life and praise him. Because he is God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, there are times in our lives when we're walking in darkness, when your face seems hidden from us. In those times, help us in our prayers to remember all your goodness to us. Thank you for the salvation that is ours in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for every blessing that you pour out on us from the riches of heaven. All power and glory, all honour and praise are yours. In the name of the Lord Jesus I pray. Amen.